Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gina, just do me a favor and get your butt closer this way. Like, I know you really want to be in bed. You guys, Gina wants
to be in bed.
Gina wants to change the name of our podcast to In Bed with Brooke and Gina. In between the sheets.
There it is.
Talking fitness in between the sheets because we don't want to get out of bed.
I wish there was a video of this because I'm just
hunched
over.
Yeah, she could video it right there.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Welcome to In Between the Reps / Sheets with Gina and Brooke. Oh, that was Brooke and Gina. No, I liked it.
I'm trying to take over.
Putting my name first.
No, I liked
and
it.
We're here and we are... interviewing Brady Bell from Pure Spectrum, talking
awesome.
CBD.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. I'm an athlete with Pure Spectrum, and I've been talking about it for a long time. We haven't talked about CBD in general on the podcast yet, mostly because
I know nothing about it.
Yeah. And I can't fly solo on this topic, but we do have Brady here. And we're going to talk about it. And Gina knows nothing about CBD, which means she's going to be asking so many questions. Hopefully smart ones.
Probably not.
Hopefully you don't stump me.
Well,
that'd be embarrassing, right?
That would be really embarrassing. Coming from Gina, that would be really embarrassing.
Well, yeah, exactly. If I can stump you, you're like really screwed. Brooke actually wanted to know if you're coming out with a CBD tampon.
I was thinking, what if you had CBD tampons?
You know, I'm sure somebody might come out with one of those because it's like everybody's putting it in everything.
They are putting it in everything, which I think is so funny.
They even had it in like Carl's Jr.'s hamburgers.
No.
On 420. Yeah, a company hooked up with them on 420.
Because they're like, hey, you guys, we're gonna spike the price of this burger.
Right.
And you're going to take one little tiny bit, probably there, of like really, what do they call it when they like over...
That's our room service. Hold on.
Oh, go get it, Gina. What's it called if you, like, for instance, like CBD.
Okay.
It's becoming way more popular.
Right.
And what I've mentioned to a lot of people is I feel like a problem is going to be a lot of companies. What is the word for if, like, the potency is low? Because they're trying to get more for their buck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's kind of a problem. It's like
the quality goes down,
you can
afford it. But it's like now you're paying a little bit more for CBD, but because of the cost, you know, and them trying to make more money on the amount that they have, they're going to cut it with, you know, water or oil. So the amount of like the potency is going to be way low and you're really not even going to see the benefits from it. And then you'll probably stop taking it before you even realize like how good it is for you because you're not getting the effects that you actually want.
And that's a huge problem is because, you know, China grows more hemp than anybody in the world.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And so a lot of individuals are resorting to purchasing material from China. We'll say like, you know, raw materials go by kilograms.
Yeah.
And so you could buy like a kilogram over there for $1,200, but you're dealing with an environmental issues and heavy metals and very low grade. We're over here. That's like $6,000. So people are importing the crap, selling it here at high margins, no quality control, bad product. It's a huge problem. So
where do we get ours?
So we actually have four different farms now. We met you last.
There's a farm.
We have four.
Farms.
Yeah.
We have our own farms.
Okay. Yeah.
That's cool.
So when we first met you and started working with you, we're doing a lot of work with Colorado Cultivars, but they've grown so fast. We've grown so fast. We've had to start finding different pockets of individuals who help us with our growth. So we are growing in Utah.
Hey, I was going to say, state. I was going to say, my dad has a lot of farmland.
And we actually, one of our partner farmers has a million square foot of greenhouse space in Utah, and they're doing like a seed stability program to be able to help expedite things. And then we're growing in Colorado, Kansas, and now Oklahoma. So,
okay, so for like CBD for dummies.
Okay.
Okay. When you have a CBD farm, is it a marijuana farm?
Yeah.
But you just get the CBD from it?
You know, different plants, right? Like female and male.
Well, no, actually,
well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
So there was never any such thing as marijuana. It was all hemp to begin with. If you go back to the genus, right? The beginning of the days. And then they started deriving marijuana from the hemp plant because they started noticing that you could get high if there's a lot of THC. So,
is a cannabinoid, Gina. Yeah,
say that word, cannabinoid. Cannabinoid.
Cannabinoid.
There you go. Yeah. See?
Cannabinoid.
Yeah, cannabinoid.
You're in level two now.
I know. Oh my God.
You've graduated.
My mind is blown.
So anyway, so there are two different types of hemp plants. So you have an industrial hemp plant that's mainly used for food and fiber. Looks a lot like bamboo. And then you have the plants that we grow that actually look like just like marijuana. So if you had our hemp plants on the ground and a marijuana plant next to it, 90% of the people wouldn't be able to tell you the difference based on smell, look, everything. Okay. So the plant is evolving.
Okay. And I was talking to her about full spectrum.
Okay.
Can you explain like what is full spectrum?
So full spectrum is basically your first extraction of the plant. So when you harvest the plant, you dry it and then you basically hammer mill it until the micron levels are really small. And then you're put through an extraction process, whether it be CO2 or ethanol.
Okay.
And then the first pass oil that comes out has all the cannabinoids. So it has your THC, your CBD, CBC, CBN.
So many.
All these different cannabinoids, terpene profiles, everything. And that's what is considered a full spectrum oil. Okay. And then as you purify it, you know, it can become broad spectrum, which is once you remove the THC, and then you can actually get like a distillate that has mainly just CBD.
Okay.
And then you can turn that into an isolated cannabinoid and get, you know, just a powder-like substance of CBD or any other cannabinoid.
Okay. So I just like imagine like all these people in like white lab coats, you know, with like, I don't know, like little syringes and pulling out of the plants. Is that like what?
Well, you're close on the lab setting.
Like what do they do? Do they like dry them and then like pull it out or do like what is it?
Do you press it?
You know,
all
some,
I know is
some
like
can.
From like smoking weed from like, you know, when I was in high school and it was like, you know, a little dried.
I didn't know you were still in high school.
That's what I was going to say. What do you mean when you're in high school?
When I was in high school, I've had a couple of vodka sodas. So, you know.
So basically it's kind of like that. I mean, the hemp flower right now has gotten so good where it actually looks like cannabis flower. But it's agriculture. So the first process is just like if you're at a silo where they're doing corn, wheat, and milo or soybeans, you know, you have these massive drying machines and massive extraction machines where it's more food, or, you know, it's not a lab setting. And then once you get the oil, then it goes into the environment like a lab where there's clean rooms and, you know, it's highly sophisticated on SOPs on ensuring that you're treating it like a pharmaceutical and meeting FDA standards.
Awesome. Will you talk a little bit on all the products that we currently have? And then also, because we're cleared for sport.
Yes, ma'am.
And then which products we're also cleared for, like military.
Right. And so.
Because a lot of people, like I still get messages constantly, like on social media and things asking about the products that we have. And
am I going to flunk a drug test, et cetera? So basically, that's kind of our niche is when we decided to go in the sport realm, you know, we had to ensure that we don't disrupt anybody's brand. Like, you know, like we had Max Holloway in the very beginning, and those individuals in the UFC were taking our product before they walked out to go fight to calm their nerves. Mm-hmm. So USADA and WADA's guidelines, you can't have THC in your system 6 hours before or 6 hours after. So we put our product through rotochromatography, which is a crazy word. Can you say that one? So you go to level three?
Rotochromatography?
Yeah.
Whoa. Can you say it?
Rotochromatography?
There it is. You're almost at level three. So basically what that is it isolates every cannabinoid based on its weight profile. And so we can separate the THC and we can separate all the other cannabinoids, reintroduce what we want and get rid of what we don't want. So that allows individuals like yourself and military. I mean, we have DEA agents that take our product, CIA agents that take our product. individuals even up and beyond that that take our product just because they know that they won't flunk a drug test.
Yeah.
So with Pure Spectrum, we currently have in our product line is all what I call industry products, like your tinctures and your salves and your lotions. And
yeah, I have my tinctures like everywhere throughout my house because if I don't, like supplements in general for me, if I don't see them, I don't take them. Like I'm not good at it. So I have like a tincture in my car. I have a tincture next to my bed. I have a tincture at my office. I have a tincture in my kitchen.
That's funny. I always put my supplements like in the open. Jessica likes that too much, but just I'm just like you. If I don't see him,
if I won't take him. Yeah, it's not good.
So what we've done here recently is, obviously you've been with us from the beginning is, our growth was so insane last year. Mm-hmm. And we built our business organically where we had to go into that next level and get VC capital. So we have a big venture capitalist group that has backed us. And we're really extending our product line and evolving our brand to be
tampons.
Able to. Yeah, tampons. Actually one that we're going to release, took over a brand called 1850. We're putting them in our shell. And they're real big on suppositories.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
like
so,
up your butt?
Yeah, or the other way for females.
Oh, okay.
And they've been shown to be very highly effective with like colon cancer and just other female. All that stuff that Jess is over there saying that I can't pronounce. Yeah, she's almost a PhD, so I'm learning in her realm like you're learning in ours.
We're gonna do a podcast with Brady Bell, Pure Spectrum 2.0, when Gina's headphones come in the mail, the other microphone comes in the mail. It's our first day.
But going back to what you're saying is, we're getting ready to put out a whole another line of products. So we're coming out with Pure Spectrum Black Label. That's a lot more athletic focused.
Cool.
From like pre-workout, post-workout, BCAAs, hemp protein, higher strength tinctures, and just stuff that we know that can help expedite the recovery process. Mm-hmm. And then we're also putting out a kids line. And then we rebranded our pet line. Yeah, awesome. So we got a lot of stuff coming out in September.
My new puppy could use some calming. Also, sure. She's like extremely attached to me. I'm like, she's for sure going to have that like
separation anxiety.
Oh, bad.
Yeah, my pit bull has that and eats herself constantly.
Oh my gosh.
What kind of dog do you get?
I have a toy Labradoodle, the newest puppy.
So is it like super, super little?
She's really little and she'll be like 15 pounds.
Okay.
I'll be able to take her more places. Riggs is like 30 pounds. He's an Australian Labradoodle. But her name's Maggie.
So when'd you get her?
I got her, she's what, 3 months? I got her at about 7.5 weeks, and I've had her for about a month.
How's the potty training coming?
Good.
Got it. I just got a little pit bull. She's a little terrorist.
She's getting a lot. She's really good now at kind of like letting me know. Uh-huh. But the amount of time between the moment she lets me know to when she's got to go is real short window. So like I've been trying to like been cleaning my house a ton and like going through my closet and things like that. And like I'll see her and she'll be gone for a second. And it's like if she's gone to the door and I come out and then there's poop on the ground. And I usually tell her, I'm like, God, Maggie, not in the house. But I understand because I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can't. It's like you can talk. You can't talk to me. But I mean, it happens. Yeah. She's getting a whole lot better at like understanding, too. Like, I think liking to go outside to go to the bathroom, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of how that's where we're at. They like to run away, though.
She does. She definitely does.
Dude, I watched her the other night, and it was so funny. She, like, stayed up super late, and she, like, went and peed at, like, 12:30 at night. And then she was, like, sniffing around and went back in the house, and I was like, oh, okay, like, she's fine. And I went to bed, and I went to wash my face, and I came back, and she was just pooping all over my bed. And she just, but she was, like, looking at me, like, all shameful, like, all, like, bent over, like, oh, don't look at me. I'm sorry.
Poops everywhere. I didn't realize I had to poop until I got in your bed.
Like, it's okay. You're just a baby.
All right, back to CBD. Yeah. Sorry, we definitely get a little off track.
Yeah, and CBD won't help with that. No, but no. That's one thing that I say it won't help with.
Suppositories.
Yes.
So we do from what I understand too, only our salve has like the tiniest bit of THC noticed in it. Correct.
Right now, but we actually that's one of the things that we're doing upgrading our quality. We're going to an individual that used to own one of the largest organic health and beauty lines, and he just recently got out of his 5-year non-compete, and that's a brand that every single one of us know and have used, and they're going to start formulating for us.
Cool.
And a lot of these, that was one of our only products we outsourced because nobody knew how to, I didn't know how to make lotions and salves. And so they made us use their material for that so they could obviously increase their margins. So now we're going to be able to use all of our stuff, have all of our product in our own and materials in our own product. So that'll actually go away. So we'll have zero and everything.
Nice. Our Afterwad, I'm like obsessed. I mean, I love, so my first time trying CBD was before, it was when it was still on the ban list.
Right.
And I, going into regionals in 2016, I was filming Wonder Woman, and I was overseas, and I was having a lot of inflammation in my knees and tendonitis really bad. And so all I could do over there, because I had no one to kind of help me, no one to help manage inflammation or just like body stuff while I was training.
Right.
So I was dosing way too much ibuprofen. So when I came home, I couldn't take it anymore. Like, I couldn't take ibuprofen anymore. And I remember I kind of went to, like, CrossFit, and I was trying to ask if I could do, because my chiropractor had mentioned, like, patches, like CBD
transdermal patches.
Yeah. For inflammation and for pain and things like that. And so I kind of went to them to ask them if that was something I could do. Like, I'm here. I can take ibuprofen. Like, you guys allow ibuprofen, but I've dosed it so much, I can't even take it anymore.
Was it starting to affect your stomach?
Yeah. And they kind of, you know, they gave me the answer that was like a very, like, they didn't say no, they didn't say yes. And so I did not try it. And then I remember I was in Sacramento. I was up there for work with Trifecta. And at one of, like, the MMA gyms, they had some new CBD products in. It was, like, kind of the very beginning. This is for sure before we saw it as prominent as we see it now. And so I bought a salve. And I remember trying to put that on my knees before, like, a training session, before, like, a squat session. And it was pretty instant that, like, it felt so much better. Like, rubbing, like, a good amount on, pulling my knee sleeve up, and not going from not being able to, like, squat without, like, a lot of pain to feeling like I had no pain. And so I used that all up. And then I remember there were a couple, before I had talked to you guys, there were a couple newer CBD companies, they had taken off the ban list. So, like, in our sport, you were seeing a little bit more. Sent me some stuff to try, and it was nowhere near. Like, the effect was nowhere near what I had had the first time I used it. So, like, I knew that it worked for me.
Right.
And so then to try a company that it didn't really have the same effect at all, that brings me back to the idea of people trying to, like, chase the dollar
a little bit.
Cut
corners.
Yeah, and cut corners. Because, like, I remember when Mason had talked to me about you guys, and you sent me product, and literally the first time I used it, I was like, absolutely. Because I had already tried something that did work for me. And then I had gave a couple of tries to someone else that was like, didn't work at all.
Yeah.
And then to then try a company, you guys had sent me product to try, and again, it was like, I deal with inflammation, I deal with tendonitis, and it was almost immediate that it gave me so much relief. And so now I have the Afterwad with me all the time. In fact, I just went on, you probably have seen it, but I went on a hike with Beyond Clothing.
And we did that was awesome,
a 2-day, one night, Pacific Crest Trail, and then we summited Mount Hood, and I had my dad with me. My dad has really bad arthritis in both of his wrists. And his feet, you know, he's older.
Right.
Dad, you're old.
No. Well, that hike was insane. That would have made me feel old. That was insane.
When we came down from summiting, my knees hurt so bad from walking downhill for so long.
Oh.
I remember stopping and just looking at my dad being like, you know what I don't want to do anymore, Dad? And he's like, walk? And I'm like, yeah. I wish someone could come and pick us up. But we had to walk. But every night, not only I ran through my Afterwad because I was rubbing it on my feet and my knees and it would give me instant relief. And then my dad was rubbing it on his hands and his feet and his knees. And, for him, my family's in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a house. My parents have a house in San Diego. So whenever they go down there, they go to one of the, dispensaries
there.
And my dad has a specific type of, like, CBD lotion that has THC in it. It's a little more full spectrum that he uses.
Yeah.
And he loves ours. like way more than he's tried anywhere else that has like given him relief with his arthritis in his hands and his knees and his feet. And so the whole time we're hiking, it's like, I'm giving it to Matt Chan. I'm giving it to my dad. I'm rubbing it on my body. And we ran out pretty quick. But yeah, I take my tincture every day. I remember the first time people talk to me a lot about like, does it work? How does it make you feel? And like, well, honestly, the first time I realized it was working for me is because I didn't feel any pain.
Right.
Like it, some people experience it, and I would love to hear maybe how you got into it as well. But for me, I was just, after my spinal surgery, I was just taking it consistently multiple times a day. I remember at the games last year, I actually met with, who's the woman that I met with that's like the like an educator for?
Kim.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she talked to me a lot because I kind of went into it thinking like, okay, we have all these different types of CBD with Pure Spectrum. Do I just sort of choose like which version to take today? No, or
what delivery system?
Yes. Right? And yeah. So for her, it was like, oh, no. Like I take all of these throughout the day. And so mm-hmm. I started to do that. And what I started to notice is I was doing so much lower body work because I couldn't do a lot with my upper body from my spinal fusion and my cervical spine. And I always deal with inflammation in my knees and my ankles always hurt. My knees always hurt. And what I started to notice is like, they didn't hurt at all. Like I could do way more volume, lower body. I could do more running. I could do more hiking, lunging, squatting. And I was not having that, that inflammation that I usually get when I'm training high volume, lower body. Cause normally we still do, but like we really have to balance out. All right, if we push too much in the lower body, let's give it a break. We'll do it more upper body, kind of do that thing. But I started to notice like, huh, I just don't have pain like I normally have. And I mean, I was already a believer in CBD well before that. But that's what really made me a believer in making sure I'm consistent in my tincture.
Yes.
To let that sort of build up in my system.
And you know, what's really cool that most people don't know is, you know, marijuana, cannabis in general, it has always been treated as a sports performance enhancing drug. So that's why the Olympics always had it illegal, and USADA and WADA deemed it illegal because they viewed it like steroids, that this is going to help your recovery. It's going to help your rest. It's going to help your body reduce inflammation, and it gives that competitive advantage. And so that's why I'm glad to see organizations open this up, because it does the same thing like opioids. It does the same thing that all these prescriptions do that very harmful to the body without getting high and without having to worry about all these other things. So I think it's awesome that it's worked for you like that.
Yeah. I mean, when I first wanted to try and use it and it was still on the ban list, I remember I would just get so frustrated because it's like you have this natural product that is doing nothing but helping me recover. You and all of you want to watch us do all these amazing things. You want us to do
at your peak performance,
lift more weight and push more. But it's like, because you've deemed this thing illegal, you know, so many people just see it as bad versus understanding belief or understanding what broad spectrum or, you know, full spectrum or the fact that there's so many cannabinoids besides just THC, you know, and even if you like THC, that's fine. Like, you know, you like what you like, but to have so many people just deem it as bad before fully understanding how much it actually has to offer was crazy. So definitely in sport, the fact that people are opening up their minds a little bit more to allowing something so natural to work.
Right.
And too, it's like so natural to help you recover and feel better.
Yep.
Like you want to let me take ibuprofen.
Exactly.
Like I took ibuprofen until I couldn't take it anymore because I had no other options.
Or here's a bottle of opioids.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Right. It's like either way, you're fucked.
Exactly.
So yeah, how did Brady, tell us how you kind of got into CBD then.
You know, I'll give you like a 10,000 foot aerial view of like what brought me to all this is, you know, I was an athlete growing up. It's a pretty high caliber basketball player, and I was no drinking, no drugs, didn't do anything. But I have a form of Tourette syndrome called tic syndrome. So I shake my head a lot and I do these things. And when I went and played college basketball, I was the only white guy in the team, and they always kept on trying to get me to go smoke blunts with them. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go to the park and smoke blunts with you guys, you know? And one day they got me to do it. And I remember afterwards, I was sitting in the dorm room with my roommate. And he's like, man, you're not shaking your head over there. He's like, did I have something to do with it? We're just talking. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you're not making your noises. You're not shaking your head. I wasn't stuttering. You know, I was like, next day, obviously it wears off. I'm back to stuttering. I'm back to shaking my head and doing my tics that I have. And like, man, let me try that again tonight. You know, did nothing but laugh and go to the cafeteria and eat really well.
Yeah, so, a lot. Yeah,
you know, exactly. And so, and yeah. I felt normal during that time. So I did it again. It was the same outcome. Again, the worst that it did to me is I couldn't quit laughing when I was like in public. And so from that point on, I was a cannabis advocate. It's like, I want everybody to, you know, maybe somebody else has these things that they're going through. And it led me on a weird journey. You know, I got in a lot of trouble with cannabis. I've never been in trouble in my life. I was a good kid. Got caught with a little more cannabis than what the law deemed appropriate. just had a little bit more. Adjusted my life quite a bit. And so from that point on, it's like, if I ever had a chance to do this as a job, you know, I'm a person about principle. I was like, I don't think that this should be illegal. So fast forward, after the real estate crash, I tried to get into software and work for a corporate entity and realized I was not a corporate man. Don't follow instructions well. Right. So I packed everything up, moved to Colorado on a whim, and used my company to transfer me and started on the marijuana side. And I literally started, I left a 6-figure job for trimming cannabis for 10 bucks an hour. What was weird is the dispensary I was working at was right across the street from a police station. So I'm like, man,
like, this is weird.
Yeah. I feel like someone is just going to be raiding me at any time. And I hadn't, you know, that was the least amount of money I ever made in my life, including like when I was, you know, when minimum wage was 6-7 bucks an hour, they'd pay me 10-12 bucks an hour to shoot baskets in my hometown. But making a long story short is through that process, cannabis started evolving. And then, you know, the hemp thing, you know, I come from an agricultural family. And there was so much red tape on the marijuana side and so much, like, you know, one day they'd bring out a new law that Thursday, they've changed that law to another new law. And it was just becoming a headache. I wasn't sleeping well. I was in fear of losing my freedom again over something that was becoming legal. And I didn't want to deal with that. So fast forward, make a long story short, I had a chance to get full custody of my daughter.
She's amazing, by the way.
And the day they asked me, they're like, will you give up your marijuana career for your daughter? If so, we'll give you custody. Done. Sold. So I got back to Colorado, got out of the marijuana industry. And it's like, well, what am I going to do now? Right. So I started researching, hemp. I started researching cannabis, and I'm a statistics guy. So I was really going to write a book on how the cannabis movement had evolved, from a non-legal state to a medical state to now being fully recreational. And I was just doing statistical data, and I was introduced to an individual that had some greenhouse space and wanted to grow hemp. And I was like, well, what's this hemp thing? Right. Yeah. And then someone started talking about CBD and stopping seizures. I'm like, bullshit. Like that's not real. And then I met the Stanley brothers and really started kind of becoming friends with Josh Stanley at the time and following his path. And I was really, not looking at him as a mentor, but just like the change that he was bringing. I was like, this guy is like changing kids' lives. And there was a massive movement of all these families there with children that had Dravet syndrome and epilepsy moving to Colorado. And once they got there, they couldn't get the product that they needed, you know? And so you had families living with families that they never knew to be able to deal with the cost of living, to hopefully, you know, get some product. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to go all in on this. Cause when I started seeing hemp, I looked at it more than just CBD. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, this can take plastic away. You know, this is the first car ever made from the Model T was derived from hemp ethanol.
Really?
Yeah. So like that's one big thing that we're getting into in Kansas is corn ethanol is a negative output. You know, first of all, it's horrible for the environment. You use shit tons of water. All of it's GMO'd, right? Mm-hmm. Where hemp,
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, so literally you can turn hemp into an alternative fuel that's way better for the environment. And the other thing, what she was just saying over there, it does phytoremediation. And so like Chernobyl in Fukushima, where there was radiation outbreak, you know, they had the radiation issues. You plant hemp, it brings all the bad nutrients and impurities, pulls it out of the ground.
Really?
And so it's actually removing radiation from the ground. And so the plant is so diverse. That's the reason marijuana is illegal. That's the reason hemp's illegal. It's because it was killing pharma. It was killing the paper industry. It was challenging the DuPont brothers. Oh. And really the first war was started on hemp, not marijuana. So they had to get rid of hemp first and then marijuana came second. So with all
this, I'm like, what?
Yeah. So with all that stated,
I'm like, what?
So with all that data, I was like, there are so many multi-pivotable points within the hemp realm where, you know, CBD is awesome. But as we all have seen today, I mean, everybody and their mom are starting to sell CBD, and you're seeing it like sold in bowling alleys, and you're seeing it sold in gas stations and all these literally crazy places,
everywhere.
Literally everywhere, which is okay. You know, right. As long as you, you know, we're not the only company that's good. There's a lot of, there's probably 30 or 40 companies that would stand by.
So like, I guess my question would be like, how would you know that? If you're buying something like that, right? Like at a bowling alley, that it's really what you're getting.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be buying problem, right? It at a gas station or a bowling alley, okay, right? You know, there's certain things that I would and certain things that I wouldn't.
Right.
But
hot dog, I'd buy a hot dog there.
candy bar and a Coke,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, to me, is like, you know, the I would say the consumer is getting more educated. And so like, to me, it's just like, if I go buy tomatoes or any produce, I'm not worried about what farm it's coming from. I've just gotten to an educated mindset. It's like, is this organic or is this not organic? And I'm going to buy the organic. But in our industry where the consumer is just starting to get educated, if I were looking for a product, I would want to make sure that they had a farm. Like, where are they sourcing this? Where are they supplying right. it?
So I guess that would be my question is, yeah, like for people who are, I mean, obviously, you're going to want, like, we would want them to get it from Pure Spectrum.
Yeah, or we would say, like, it'd be like, where are you getting your product from? Because right. for sure, if they're having to outsource it,
right.
yeah. they're probably spending a lot of money, which means they probably are potentially could be cutting it down quite a bit. So the potency per item you buy is pretty low.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, or I would speculate that it would be pretty low.
So how do you know? Yeah. So like that's what I mean. Like how would you know that you're getting exactly like what you're wanting to buy?
And to
you
be,
don't. That's why you buy Pure Spectrum.
but to go back to that, to are there is 86% of the market are white labeled, meaning okay. They don't have a farm. And so,
oh, got it. Okay,
which is not a bad thing, right? You know, there's
well, again,
brokers are okay.
This,
yeah, so brokers
you're
are okay
me right now.
But like, what happens if you know, a company buys some material and it has some really acidic problems and are getting everybody sick.
Right.
If you don't have a farm to source that back to, like with tomatoes or lettuce, which I always use, if there's a lettuce, a salmonella outbreak, they trace that back to the farm, the distribution,
right, exactly. right.
the wholesalers, and they're right. able to take it off the shelf. Well, if right. we don't have that in our industry, what happens? Where do you go? Oh, I bought it from this person who bought it from this person who bought it from this guy that sold it out of his house.
Right, exactly.
And that's 86% of the market.
Right.
And so, again, going back to what I would say is like that 14% that are doing it right, it's not too hard anymore to get on the internet and find out, okay, who really does have farms? And
right.
and being transparent, like when I first got in the industry in 2014, we thought that the only legal way to do this was to import it.
Oh, got it.
And so we were fucking sure. lying so bad, saying like, oh, yeah, we have farms in Norway.
Right.
We have farms right. in Denmark. It's like,
right.
no, you don't.
Right.
We don't
yeah.
have Lawyer. Farms in Denmark, right? And so that's what's happening now is that same mentality in 14 and 15 where everybody in the United States was saying they had these farms in these different countries.
Right. It's all bullshit. All bullshit
yeah. is going on here. And people are like, oh, USA grown and, you know, USA source. But no, you bought it from China and you then shipped
then
it to Sweden
no, right.
and then you have
right.
it in the United States and you let it sit in a warehouse and then you say it's manufactured in the United
right.
States. So
right.
it's really kind of a mess and it's the wild, wild west. So,
right.
There's my long answer on how would I educate you on buying product,
yeah.
other good product besides ours? But
today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you and want to stay connected with you. So please rate, review, and subscribe to help this podcast grow.
And if you like the podcast, get the word out.
And now back to the show.
Are there, I guess for like CBD, how many states, or is it legal now?
The Federal Farm Bill of 2018 made it legal for every state.
Okay.
To allow it.
Yeah.
You know, hemp has been in ropes and, you know, you go to natural grocers or Whole Foods.
I remember when I went to college, I remember before our semester started, there was a,
I don't even know what it would be called, but I was walking around where like we have like lunch in the University of Utah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different like clubs and places, like different clubs from the college that were out there, and you can like come in and like ask them about it.
Right.
And I remember there was always a table for like hemp.
Yeah.
And like all the things.
It's a superfood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I don't remember what our original question was that we went down this last path.
I have a question.
Okay.
So you were talking about like all the we were talking about like where you get it from, mm-hmm. and all that. So my question would be like, is there any testing or like, are there any test results as far as, I don't know, like what you're putting out there is doing exactly what you say it's doing, or?
Yeah. So that's what's given us validity within the sporting realm, and what we're doing is our testing SOPs are so rigid, and you know, we probably spend 2 to 3 times more money than the average company on our testing, just because we deal with athletes. We know we have military using our product. We know we have police officers using our product. We know we have a lot of children using our product. And going back to what I said earlier, you know, I have 100% full custody of my daughter.
Right.
I'm never going to cut a corner to slip up.
Sure.
To, you know, take everything that I've worked for away. So the thing we do at Pure Spectrum, we not only test in-house, we'll send it off to 2 other labs to make sure that our statistical differentiation of the test are within the allowable parameters set by the FDA. We're not regulated by the FDA, but we're like, okay, if we were regulated by the FDA, this is the protocol.
At some point,
so
right?
So we're going to follow this protocol. So when the light switch turns on for the FDA to come in, we don't have to readjust any of our SOPs.
No, you don't have to add anything different. You've already done it.
Right. So, you know, going back to the early days that I was talking about when we're bullshitting about having farms in Norway or whatever.
Right.
Individuals would give us their COA. We'd go buy raw material from a random individual, and they'd give us their certificate of analysis. And this was like my biggest mistake, and it never happened again, is I took that individual's word as gold.
Right.
And
right.
I took that piece of paper as gold. Well, at that time, you know, we had a customer service line, but nobody was calling our customer service line. We went,
hello.
I mean, I think the kid on the street was selling more than we were at that time. And the next thing you know, my phone was just blowing up. It's just ringing, and nobody was upset. But at that time, all we had was our vape products, and they're like, "Dude, I'm getting so high off your product." And I'm like, you know, the first one, I'm like, it's impossible. You know, we have 0 THC in our product, and I have the certificate analysis. I'll send it to you. And a little bit later, phone rings again. Hey, I'm not mad, but I'm high. I smoke weed all the time, and I'm high. I smoked it this morning. I'm high. And it became a thing for about a week. I'm like, oh shit, we got to pull that off the shelves. And that was like our first come to reality of like, we can't take people for what they say. Because at the end of the day, we're all learning, you know? And so the lab environment's one of the hardest things, because you have to recalibrate your machine. Your cleansing SOPs have to be, you know, like state-of-the-art lab settings. And in our industry, you have overnight experts, overnight doctors, you know, overnight lab techs. Right. And they make just as many mistakes as we do on our end, you know?
And as it gets more popular, you're going to have like more people jumping on that train, right? That don't have any background and don't really know what the hell they're doing.
And that's kind of the problem with new states. And Jessica, the CEO of 1850 that we're bringing into our shell, you know, Kansas is my home state, and we put together a powerhouse in Kansas. So we built a $20 million processing purification facility there. We have the top farmers. We have some of the top individuals from the political level that are part of our team. And just listening to some of these so-called experts from like Oregon and Washington and some of these fallouts in Colorado, going back and just misinforming all these new states, right, like, and trying to becoming something there because they couldn't make it where they're at. And just so what's happened is now you have the industry hurting itself by all the misinformation, all the bullshit, all the people that think they have all the answers. And sure. So it's, yeah.
Yeah. It's like all the other people that just, you know, are jumping on the bandwagon, and they're just like taking away from all the work that you've done.
Sounding like me in 2014 is full of shit.
You know, all of us at some point are full of shit.
Right.
Gina's definitely full of shit most of the time. You know? And that's okay. I still love you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So what is, you did mention kind of like the new Black Label stuff for Pure Spectrum, but I guess what's next in the docket? Do you have a time frame that's going to be launching? And also I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah. So since we're not on video, let me show you something real quick.
Yeah.
Can I see my phone?
I know everyone's always wanting, I know you guys are wanting us to bring our YouTube video of the podcast back. We're just, you know, trying to do a lot, and I don't make enough money to hire enough people to help me do stuff. So right now, me and Gina have
We don't want you to see how janky our whole setup is right now. Like, that's really what it is.
Oh, this is organic. This is fun.
It's super janky, but guess what? We have a machine, it's recording, and we have some avid listeners that we love so much, and we met so many of you this weekend at the CrossFit Games. So thank you again for listening.
Very awesome. All right, show us.
Yeah. So real quick. So we
is this something that we just look at?
Yeah. So here, I'll give you like a quick one minute overview.
All of a sudden, we're like,
yeah, you can't see. You can't even make it.
As we're about to be quiet for a second,
you gotta be muted.
We're gonna watch it, but look at somewhere.
So today our product's in over 100 countries, right? Like last year from the CrossFit Games. It's been painful though.
I bet.
Brooke knows.
I bet.
It's like grown so fast.
Yeah.
It's like you.
It was a pain in the ass, right? Okay. And so now we have our funding, and we hired a major marketing agency to come take over our marketing and really help guide us. So we've evolved the look of our brand, which I'm going to you're going to see that. And then I'm going to show you our Black Label line, just kind of what it looks like. So this one is just going to be our Nucleus core product currently is.
That looks awesome.
Not a whole lot of changes, but it'll be really cool. But like, I'm in love with the Black Label.
Yeah, that looks great. You're talking to two girls that mostly only wear black.
And then, three, you got another one over here, Jess. Yeah. That's all she wears.
Jess, but you look great in white.
And then
I do that because Jess is wearing all white right now.
No, they both are. They both like walked in all sexy, like they were just going to a white party.
Yeah. And then they came to our room. We're like, welcome to our janky podcast. Hey, but we ordered vodka sodas
right now.
And so this is our new website. It's coming out. This is just the first version,
oh,
but obviously Brooke's in there quite a bit.
That looks so good. Where am I?
Yeah, sorry, Gina.
I'm just kidding.
We're gonna have you in there too, but. Okay. So this is really, I like a lot what we're doing with our Black Label.
Really, really awesome.
And then like a lot of our other products, like, you know, we have some, a whole bunch of different stuff coming out that I won't say right now, but, all this stuff will be released in September.
Cool.
And then I have one more. I'll show you what we're doing with, EndoPet.
Tell you what, Maggie needs some EndoPet for sure. Ooh.
And so that's going to be, that's like the baseline of it. And the cat's going to be removed because we're giving the cat their own product line.
Nice.
So this cat won't be in the picture, but that's
I'll make sure when I come to visit soon and we do some photos, I'll bring the dog. We'll make Maggie an EndoPet star.
Deal. We need one for each. So we need a small breed, medium breed, and large breed.
Small.
She's small. Yeah. There it is.
Can you do like a line of like elder pet? And it could just be like my face.
This is my elder pet.
The elderly. Yeah.
The just elderly dog.
She's like so crazy.
So that's what we have coming. And did I ever show you our children's line?
No.
All right. I'm giving you all the secrets.
Yeah. I don't have children, but I know a lot of children that could use some calming down.
Well, so what we did is
literally all of them.
So you know Brendan Schaub, right?
Yeah.
So Brendan became an equity partner with us. His son started taking our products. Actually, started taking some at different companies first.
Well, I'll tell you too. My nephew has a he has schizencephaly. My brother's oldest, and so he takes CBD.
Does it help as well?
Yeah, because he has seizures. Yeah. And he has a cleft brain. It's called schizencephaly. Cleft brain, so space on both sides of his brain. Mm-hmm. And they had mentioned when he was younger that at some point he'd start having seizures.
Right.
And so he gets them. And so my brother gives him CBD every day.
And it's effective. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the cool thing with Brendan is, again, he started taking a different product and then came over and started using ours. And his son hasn't had seizures in, I think, 11 or 12 months. So Brendan's going to help us launch this, but what we're really doing is we're going to start competing against these companies like Flintstones and
that's awesome. Yeah.
These other children's products like that have a lot of BS in them. So our products will have no dyes. They'll have it all be good ingredients. And actually one of the Flintstones major competitors offered for us to white label their already R&D product. We just needed to add CBD to it. So we went through a 9-week R&D stage with them. We have this launching in September along that's with awesome. Four other children's products as well. So cool.
That's great.
So we're trying to not be so much industry focused, but we are going to be putting out other products that have other cannabinoids. And so now that we have a processing facility, you know, like CBG, which is cannabigerol, I want to hear you say cannabigerol. And
nice.
So that's like a
level
product
three.
That could literally, you know, get away with like Adderall.
Yeah. I heard about that.
It's a real thing. Like, every individual that I gave CBG to try out on the test market, one of my favorites, she was a housewife and I called her the next morning. I'm like, how was it? And she's like, I haven't slept, but my house is fucking amazing. It's a true deal.
I would love to try that. I need to clean my house.
She was like, you know, I don't drink coffee. I don't drink anything. She was like, I was up just cleaning and I'm not tired. But everybody had that same thing.
No, I'd heard about that.
And then the really cool one that's going to really disrupt things, because like, you know, sleep aid, over-the-counter sleep aid is a $54 billion industry, right?
Sure.
That's not even including the pharmaceutical side.
I don't sleep.
Me neither.
I'm really bad. And I'm supposed to do a sleep study.
You were snoring last night.
Because I was drunk.
So I deal with...
Sure, it was like a purr. It was like...
I actually got recorded snoring last week.
Yeah, but I don't sleep. I don't sleep well. And I actually had my, in the fall, I went and had like my blood drawn and had my hormones checked and things. And one of the things the doctor was really worried about was a couple things. One, he says, I can tell you're still producing, cortisol because you're alive. Cause if you weren't producing it, you'd be dead.
Right.
But I did they didn't check my blood, but they also did a 24-hour pee test to kind of see how I was using my hormones throughout the day. And I wasn't using it at all.
Right.
So I had just been living in such a high stress environment for a really long time that I feel like I feel better.
Right.
So they actually just sent me a new like pee test. So I can do like the 24-hour test to see how things are working. But I was really not sleeping. He said, my blood was really like pretty thick. And he said, are you one of the signs for that? He's like, you see that mostly in men. And he was like, what are the signs for that is actually sleep apnea. And I'm like, well, I've been told I have that for like a really long
time. It's like you wake up and it feels like you just can't breathe.
Yeah. And and I wake up feeling like really hungover all the time or, you know,
and it's not the vodka sodas.
I mean, you know, sometimes it's the vodka sodas, but
that helps you get to sleep quicker.
If I drink them as much as you, it would definitely be the vodka sodas. But yeah, and so I had been, someone mentioned to me about like the cannabinoid.
So there's one called CBN, which is called cannabinol. I think it's cannabinol. Yeah, and it's called CBN is the short version. But I promise you, like, I don't care if you had if you couldn't sleep at all. That it's insane. It works. Hard thing. The reason we haven't released it yet is the figuring out the dosage strategy.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. It's like you gotta probably figure out like what is that.
So when I first heard it,
so I tried it. I woke up a week later.
People have Ambien, and they were like, "Oh, I just drove to the store and back, and I don't even remember."
So when I owned my marijuana dispensary, they just started testing, and we were making brownies, and I get the test results back, and it showed zero THC, 100 milligrams of CBN. I'm like, "What the fuck, CBN? I don't even know what that is." And so they're like, I was like, well, I'll try it. So I ate the whole brownie. All right. And
of course.
Yeah.
Same.
Just, right? Well, because I was thinking it's like 100 milligrams of THC.
You gotta know. Right? You gotta help us understand how much I should take. Yeah. Almost, I appreciate you doing the full dose. Yes.
And I almost slept for 22 straight hours.
No.
No, I'm not kidding you. And so this was 2013, 2012. And so stop that story there, right? Well, first of all, I was like a zombie for the next day and a half after that. It's like, you know how if you take too much medication, you wake up, you're a zombie. Well, I was in a room with like 400 and some of the top Jewish doctors in the world. And all they want to know about was CBN. Well, during that time, we learned that like, I think it's 5 milligrams of CBN is equal,
more than enough.
Is equal to 2 to 4 milligrams of Xanax. I don't know if anybody's ever taken
Xanax.
Took
how much?
What? I took 100 milligrams.
Right. So I'm not kidding you.
You took a coma.
I know.
I buried you.
Right?
It's like you would have had a funeral and you were buried and woke up like
in the casket.
Later.
People are like, yeah, what happened? Yeah, right?
Exactly. They're like, I'm pretty sure this guy's dead, but his heart's beating slowly.
It's like a zombie nightmare.
So we have the dosage of that figured out, and that product will be releasing here soon. We're going to put it into a tincture form with CBD, but it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I can't wait. Yeah, I'm really bad at sleeping. Like, that's...
And CBD really can help so much with sleeping.
Like, yeah, well, I take it, right? And like, actually, I used to think a lot of my... Like now I sleep without pain.
Right.
Because my shoulders were really bad.
How was that stem cell, by the way? Didn't you get stem cell?
It was good. I recently have spoken to someone and they're like, well, you know, you should do another round of it.
Right.
And I'm going to look into that. There's a place like in Santa Cruz that they do it. Mm-hmm. I got it done in Florida. It was fucking expensive, man. But I didn't care. Like I didn't really have a lot of time to play with.
But did you see any progress from it at all? Right.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I was in a lot of pain. I am hypermobile and I lost a lot of mobility. Like I'm going to show them. You guys can't see it because you're on audio. Like if I take my left arm, like this is normal. I mean, I can like wrap clear around both arms. My right arm, when I first would try, I couldn't touch my left shoulder. Now I can touch the back of my shoulder.
Yeah. My right shoulder is so fucked.
But like I after regionals, I couldn't lift my arm to the side. I couldn't put my arm over my head. I couldn't blow dry my hair. I couldn't brush my hair. It was really bad. And I got an MRI on my right shoulder. And I had different radiologists read it. The first one was like, oh, you have a like full slap tear. So, said my biceps tendon was about to literally pop. A subscap tendon tear. And then the other radiologist literally didn't even use the word tear and just said... I had a lot of wear and tear, but that if I wanted to try, no, like they didn't say, because it was the same doctor that I went to for my left shoulder and I knew that I had a posterior tear and I wanted to get that fixed after I got my neck fused. Cause I'm like, I might as well just fix all of it if I can't train. And I said, I need to be training by September though. And he had said, you will not be training by September. That was me trying to come back for 2018 to go to regionals 2018. And so I'm like, well, and he said, well, if you've never really done PT, I feel like how much PT you're going to do for your upper, for your neck anyways, you could do a lot. It's going to help with your shoulder. So if you can be stable and you can deal with a little inflammation, a little bit of pain, I think you'll be totally safe to do all things. And then regionals came. Before regionals, they announced the handstand walking event. That fucked me.
Yeah.
That was bad because my left shoulder just subluxes a lot. And I was forced into like dislocation in that event. Mm-hmm. And so I think overcompensating,
right.
Trying to all the different taping of like taping jobs or braces or whatever to try and be able to do the event. I think my right side was just doing so much work that after regionals, I had, according to the MRI, like less damage than my left one, but way more symptomatic. Like so much pain. And so I did the stem cells in both shoulders. And then I really have taken this year. One, I didn't try to force myself into competing and doing the open and everything because I didn't even know what this season would look like. And I'm like, I'm not going to force myself. I can barely, like, I was in so much pain and now I sleep with no pain. Like I'm a side sleeper.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to train myself to sleep on my back, but sometimes I have to go to my side and I finally can sleep, you know, in bed with a pretty normal pillow. And not have any pain.
Would you wake up with your hands like numb, tingly?
My hands definitely electric. Go numb. Yeah. But for years, I mean, it was just normal for me to like, it'd be pretty painful to sleep at night. And now it's like, I don't have pain, but I'm still not sleeping. So I need some of that CBN.
You need that CBN.
CBN, man.
Yes, it's coming. We'll have it very soon.
Yeah. And I'm trying to clean my house, so.
So you need some CBG as well.
CBG.
I can take care of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
just want a before and after picture of the house.
Here's how we started.
That's going to be our marketing tool.
Just grinding all my teeth.
House is clean, but I got to go to the dentist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you should take it and go and just do your own construction on your house. She bought a house. When did you get it?
Last year.
Well, congratulations.
Santa Cruz is a bitch, man.
It's taken me a year to get a permit, but yeah, it started again. So
lots of permits and people, you know, right. A lot of people like money, don't really want to work that hard. Yeah. There's a lot of jobs available.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
So you helping with the updates?
What?
Are you doing some of the updates yourself?
No. I'm not doing anything.
That's why I said maybe she should.
Go in there and show them how it's done.
I don't do shit. I'm just like, is it built yet? And they're like, nope.
And you both live in Santa Cruz,
right?
Yeah. It's beautiful out there.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
But however, I mean, I haven't, the only times I've been to Colorado is to come and see you guys. And every time I come there, I'm always like, I should probably come here way more.
Really?
Yeah.
I figured you'd done a lot of training there. Like,
no.
Huh.
I mean, my first time going to Denver was the last year they had sectionals in CrossFit, which was 2012, maybe. Mm-hmm. And our team went there, and that's where the sectional was at. And that was the last time I had gone. And then other than that, I've come for you guys. And we went to Red Rocks and did some filming. And
came to UFC fight.
Yeah, I went to a UFC fight. I had never been to one before, which was really cool.
Choked out James Crowe.
Yeah,
did you choke James? No,
James choked me out.
That's right. Okay, there it
which
is.
Which is awesome.
You got Ryan. You choked Ryan out.
I choked Ryan out.
That's right.
The best part was like Ryan talking about the next day. He was like, he was embarrassed to say it. Ryan, I hope you're listening. But he had told me, he's like, his back was really sore.
From pulling him?
Because he didn't like brace himself before I like choked him out.
Because
he probably didn't think I was strong. And then I like choked him out and really like pushed my hips forward.
Oh, so you
and really,
popped his back
so
in.
His back was so sore. I was like, rookie move.
Well, you did kill James in that workout. We were actually, we brought Megan Anderson down, who trains with James, and she was just telling us about how you kicked his ass in that workout. Because he hates to work out. He hates to lift. He's like, she destroyed him.
I know. We definitely need to get together again, because we didn't have a ton of time, because we were going to use like hit more mitts, and he was going to teach me a little bit of stuff. But,
yeah, so we have a new headquarters and all that good stuff now.
I know we had been talking about me coming out soon, so.
We'll get that lined up.
Great time. We'll come out.
That's right.
And we'll do another 2.0 podcast. And Gina will have more headphones. We'll get more headphones.
No, I'm just.
Is this Between the Sheets episode? Is get another one?
I'm being stuck to your head right now.
I actually really like
my breath right now.
It's so good. It smells like vodka soda. It smells like
vodka limes right now.
It smells like somebody poured a vodka soda into a cat box.
And then you drink it and then shit on it.
Yeah, for sure.
You guys are awesome.
Anyway. Hey, you know what? Thank you for schooling me on cannabinoids.
Cannabinoids, cannabinoids.
Cannabinoids. Oh, I said it wrong? Yeah. Cannabinoids?
You said cannabinoids?
Oh, motherfucker.
It's
okay.
Cannabinoids.
Cannabinoids.
Yeah, see? You're good.
Okay.
I mean, you can go talk better than most people in the industry now.
It's true.
I'm an expert now, guys.
You are.
Yeah. Well, Brady, thanks for stopping by.
No, and thanks for having
us. We've kind of been putting off talking about CBD because I wanted to wait until we could be in the same place to talk about it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming by today. The booth was insane.
Yeah. No problem.
So fun.
Yeah, I walked in. It
was so cool.
Yeah, you definitely turned.
She killed it.
You moved the needle.
Yeah.
So many cute little girls, like little kids.
No, like crying.
Little Queen Beezy loves you, by the way.
Yes, I know.
She's a little stud.
She's a total stud. She's been doing this for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome. Her and her dad, he's great.
He is great. And, you know, that's like being a single father when I'm sitting there talking with him and just what the life lessons that he's instilling in her at 12 is absolutely amazing.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. She says she's going to be the next Brooke Ends.
Oh, she better.
She did say that.
She better do it.
She's like, I don't have any friends now, so I'm giving all that up now so I can have all this later.
Yes, what's up? What's up? I have a couple friends. When I say couple, I mean one. She's next to me.
Yeah.
No, I have a couple.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for
thank you guys for your time.
And we'll do this again shortly.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, and we will get
you
both out to Denver
ASAP.
You
guys look amazing.
Thank you.
You do. Makes us want to shower. You want to shower?
Yeah, I need to shower.
Well, you guys need to go to the the party, the Fed 8 party night.
Damn it. We'll be there.
We're hosting it. So.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So us and Fed 8 are hosting that party.
Well,
so.
I do have, Aaron gave us a couple bracelets for the VIP.
Okay.
We were supposed to go to their booth to get the actual tickets for it, but we haven't been there yet. So I was going to text him.
Yeah, you're good to go.
I'll just show him and be like, no, I'm here.
I'm the Brookins. We're in.
Yeah. This is actually my party. I have no white to wear, so I'm just going to wear the sheet. Are you okay with that?
I mean, like you could style that.
I'll make you a dress out of the toilet paper in the bathroom.
Just get some scissors. You're good to go.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. And remember to you got to start over.
Rate, review, subscribe.
5-star rating.
Warning. And love you guys.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thank you guys. All right, bye ladies. Ready?